dir Lob, Ehre, Preis, Ruhm und Anbetung.
Lob, Ehre, Preis, Ruhm und Anbetung sei dir aus dankbaren.
Now we ask Brother Frank. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord our God for his wonderful grace and mercy. Thanks be unto him for the privilege that we may come together to hear his everlasting word. Thanks be unto him that he is still speaking, and thanks be to God that there are still people on earth who are ready to hear the true word of God. We welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord. We are in great expectation on this weekend. Just in great expectation that God is doing great things in our midst. May we ask who is here today for the first time? Please just stand up so that we can see you better. Raising hand is not enough. Be welcome. Of course, our friends from Chile, God bless you in a very special way. Shall I mention your name? Yes. Brother and Sister Münch, God bless you. God bless you, precious sister. Who is still here? God bless you. God bless you. God bless. Thanks be unto the Lord. Thanks be unto the Lord. We have also greetings from half of the world. Even from China, the arrangements are being made now that I shall and will be there next month from the 8th to the 15th of June. Meetings are planned in a few cities in China. We are just so grateful that God is opening the doors worldwide. We are also thankful that the English language is suitable to be spoken by all men so that we can serve the people worldwide. We have greetings from Cape Town, greetings from Johannesburg, greetings from Nairobi, greetings from Dr. Mbie, from the Republic of Congo, greetings from Kinshasa, greetings from Denmark, greetings from near and from far. And we also greeting all from this place, and we wish all with all our hearts God's blessings. All those who are joined with us are also joined with the Lord. This I'm just saying like this, by faith. The connection which we have amongst one another is of course not some kind of friendship which we nourish, but we may be the people of God, sons and daughters of God, and are making up a great family. Then we have a bus here from Slovakia, and we would like to welcome our brothers and sisters in a special way. Also our brothers Andrasik and Brother Alman and all the brethren who are here today. Then our friends from Czech Republic, our friends from Italy, from Switzerland, from Austria, from France, from Belgium, from Holland. Yes, one could say from all over Europe. The Lord God, may He use this weekend to bring us closer to Him. And also to that, that we understand the time better in which we arrived, and that we can place it better. I have with me here, just briefly, I have with me some extracts from the internet, especially concerning Israel. Israel, on the 26th of April, commemorated the 6 million who perished in the Third Reich in a most brutal way. They were murdered, gassed. And we as a nation, and also all of Europe, has to bear the burden that it was possible in the 20th century to do something like that. The scripture which Israel has chosen is Isaiah 56, verse 5. The memorial monument, which was erected 1956 as the Holocaust Memorial Place, Yad Vashem. There the names are listed of those who helped the Jews in the time of trouble. I was asking Brother Branham personally whether on Germany is a curse because of what was done to the Jews in the name of our country. His answer was very short. No, on Germany there is no curse. God will hold those responsible who had the responsibility, and He will judge them. Also for this, we are thankful to God that He does not punish a whole nation, calling it to account, but only those who did it. Then we have here the very sad news. Again, a new Bible shall be published. And the headline says, How Masculine is God? 42 women and 10 men are busy now to publish this new Bible in a human and woman-friendly way. Then we have, pertaining to Europe, here also from the internet, the visit of the man, all know him, Barroso, the man who is presently the president of the EU, and he visited the Pope, and he said the following before he went for the interview. In the run-up to his visit, Barroso emphasized in Brussels that he is happy to present to the Holy Father the face of the Europe of today. But this would not be the worst. Then are following three lines here. The Portuguese-born Barroso gave to Pope Benedict XVI a 30-centimeter high statue of the Mother of God from Fatima. When I read the word Fatima, not only the church bells were ringing. I was thinking on 1917, after the breakout of the October Revolution, when the three children, the three girls, had there in Fatima the vision that Russia should be reconsecrated to God and to be given over to the heart of Mary. 19 times Russia is mentioned in the Fatima prophecies. I just said it for the reason because that the Second World War had two purposes. Firstly, to get rid of the European Jews, and the other one was to overpower the atheism, Bolshevism, and to overpower Russia. And then it's written here, Judas was not a traitor. And then it says, the Gospel of Judas. One could just read and read. It is no more comprehensible of all what is being said and written and done. I just want to point out one more thing. The whole world heard about it, that the World Pentecostal Movement celebrated now their 100-year anniversary. It's 100 years ago now, in April of the year 1906. The great breakthrough on Azusa Street in Los Angeles. But here is the point. One can take it here from the details. It was a colored man, who was preaching since February in Los Angeles, and nothing happened. And in the moment when the tremendous earthquake took place in San Francisco, then thousands upon thousands came to the meetings, and William Seymour, this colored brother in Christ, who was considered to be an apostle, he saw the mighty moving of the Holy Spirit. But this only after the great earthquake and after the earthquakes which took place there. Here it's written, everything in details, black on white, what took place there. But just one more point I would like to be permitted to say. In Idea Spectrum, the well-known German magazine, probably one of the most known and world-orientated magazine, here it's written, of the Pentecostal movement together with the charismatic movement. The Pentecostal movement has now 589 million followers. 589 millions are counted worldwide who profess to be part of the Pentecostal movement. And then we have even the statistics. Here in the year 1910, the portion of the full gospel people was 0.6%. In the year 1970, 5.8%. In the year 2004, 27.6%. The second largest Christian denomination, far ahead of the Lutheran Church, far ahead of the Baptist Church, far ahead of the Anglican Church, with 589 million followers. That's how it is written here. I just have one question. Who of those 589 millions has become a child of God, has experienced the grace of God personally, according to the name, and especially since the charismatic, all of course have come in with full swing. It's spoken of Pentecost, and the music brings the atmosphere, and of the Holy Spirit, really, nothing can be felt. I'm touched about the following things. Firstly, the earthquake 1906, the outbreak of the Pentecostal movement 1906. It was 1906 when the first radio transmission was made on earth with Luke chapter 1. 1906, in December, the first wireless transmission was made. Names, everything is written here. Namely, by reading Luke chapter 1 of the birth of our Lord. I rejoiced that God also needed years to permit certain things or to do certain things. And then also the following. It was 1906, this new beginning. But then, 40 years later, 1946, in May, also in May, the angel of the Lord appeared to Brother Branham. When in Jerusalem, in the King David Hotel, after 2,000 years, the flag with the Star of David was hoisted, still under the British mandate, up to 48. When it became evening there, the angel of the Lord appeared to Brother Branham and said, "The end time has started," and he gave him the commission to bring the message which would forerun the second coming of Christ. In May 1946. We're also looking back to two events. Also, in May 1966, when we officially, based upon the divine mandate, carried the message of the hour into all the world, arranging meetings to pass on that what God has entrusted us with. Then came, of course, as it probably must be, May 1979, when really all hell broke loose to destroy and to kill. I have heard it with these ears, not only once, but a few times I have heard it from the lips of a human being. This work is your work, and therefore it must be destroyed. This work is not my work. This work is God's work, and therefore it cannot be destroyed. But we are not dealing with flesh and blood, and we are not on a picnic, we are not on holidays. We are in the midst of the final battle, into the greatest conflict between light and darkness, between truth and lie. And the Lord will give us the strength to carry His word, the word of truth, and to experience the completion of the bride church. Again, 40 years passed since 1966, onto which we are looking back. I'm honest. I don't know how things will go on, but God knows it. And I am in great expectation that God will shortly do something tremendous which goes beyond our understanding to confirm His presence in our midst. God keeps what He promises. So, we are looking back to the several epochs. We've mentioned the year 1906, and then 1946. 40 years have passed, and God sent Brother Branham to give the breakthrough to the full gospel in the true sense of the word by His grace, with a direct commission, as we all know it, that the supernatural working of God repeated as it took place in the ministry of our Lord, which was His sign, the sign of the Messiah. A prophet like unto me, God will raise from among your brethren. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatever He says unto you. And every soul which will not hear this prophet will be destroyed from among the people. This scripture refers to our Lord, and it's written in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, namely in verse 22. Acts 3 from verse 22. For Moses truly said, the scripture is mentioned here, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 to 19, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever He shall say unto you. Our Lord had to have also the ministry of the prophet, of a prophet. As the Son of Man, He had to carry out the ministry of a prophet. And therefore we have the various designations. Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, Son of Abraham. four sun designations which are left to us in the Holy Scripture. As son of David, he is king. As son of Abraham, he is heir of all the world. As son of man, he is prophet. As son of God, he is redeemer. Everything in a divine order in the Holy Scripture. It continues in verse 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. And then the believers are addressed. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. In the days of our Lord, it did not profit any man to celebrate a nice service, singing psalms, but at the hour when God fulfilled His word and when He made history on earth, the time of organizing one's own services was over. Then came to fulfillment what God said. And all who were of God had part in that what God did. It started with the ministry of John the Baptist, because he was a promised prophet. What all the others did from that moment on could not connect them anymore to God. God has sent the preparer of the way so that all should believe through Him. We can nothing for it that God ordained individual men to be His prophets, sending them. Also, Brother Branham most certainly had no right to say anything in that matter. Most certainly not. He was not asked. The divine commission just happens without that a man knows anything of it. And the commission must be carried out. If we emphasize these things, then really, for one single reason, so that all people of a good will understand that we do not just believe what we like, but that we searched the scriptures and that we followed the divine trace of the promises to recognize the time in which we are living and to respect the promises which God has given and to believe them and then to have part in their fulfillment by His grace. We have heard it in the word of introduction, and this was also my question in reference to all the charismatic movements, to all who number themselves among the Pentecostal movement. I was thinking it would be good if one would make the word test to ask, what does the Scripture say to the whole matter? How was the first sermon at Pentecost? And how are the today's sermons in the Pentecostal movement? And how are the sermons in all the charismatic movements? Every church was, of course, included. This we understood. And all remained where they were. The calling out is, of course, the important thing. To leave the broad way and to enter the narrow gate, to make a new beginning with God. Not switching a religion, not a being brought into a good mood by certain music. Yes, they are writing it here. That special music was accompanying the Pentecostal movement from the very beginning. But I don't want to have a Pentecostal movement. I want that the Spirit of God moves us without any influence from outside, only influence from above. Not music. Yes, they're even mentioning Elvis Presley, who was, of course, a member of the greatest Pentecostal movement. What good is for the people all these rhythms? Brothers and sisters, my question is, has God ever said, I will make you a Pentecostal movement? Or has he said, ye who are not my people shall be called the sons of the living God? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit has, of course, endued the New Testament church with power so that it could carry out its ministry. One test now. We time and again mentioned it here. Not out of criticism. Just the question now. What do all these gentlemen preach? Be it the renowned TV evangelists. Have you ever heard one single one of them who preaches Acts chapter 2 in the way as it is written, preaching it as Peter preached it, preaching it as Paul preached it, namely, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We not only have the right, we have the duty to check everything with the Word, to find out whether it comes from God. Let us come to the point. In the end time message, of course, everything shall be restored into its original condition. I was just looking it up today in the church history book concerning the baptism. And there it's clearly said of the Roman Baptism Creed. What have I, Brother Frank, to do with a Roman Baptism Creed? The word never went forth from Rome. The word went forth from Jerusalem. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 2, the word of God shall go forth from Jerusalem and the teaching from Mount Zion. Where was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? In Jerusalem, on Mount Zion. there where our Lord celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples. There was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If we say with pain that mankind, also the 589 millions, are being led around of what God is presently doing, then this is truly a pain which one just can't stand any longer. Where is God's right for these people who actually have a right to hear the truth? But now comes the point. And please, permit me that we once again mention Brother Branham. God used him in a mighty way. And all of you, you are acquainted with the book, A Man Sent from God, written by Gordon Lindsay. His wife was a German who, when she came to school, she could not speak enough English to keep up with the rest of the class. Her name was Frieda Schimpf, a German name. I spoke with both of them, but especially Sister Lindsay, this Frieda Schimpf, German born, she told me, not just in 3 minutes, but in a longer conversation, she told me that for almost 3 years, they traveled together with Brother Branham. At that time, Brother Gordon Lindsay was the one who arranged the meetings of Brother Branham, and she testified of it in a special way. She testified how Brother Branham took his left hand and took the hand of the patient. And she said, how often I was there. I watched it. And this supernatural sign happened on the backside of the hand of Brother Branham. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. And God has truly given me the great privilege to also meet such people who were eyewitnesses, who were ear witnesses, who experienced it. And now we are, of course, coming to the very big question. Why did such people who experienced it personally, why did they not understand that it is not about a special sign, but that God just wanted to draw the attention to that what he has to say to the church? And therefore, we at this place, we lay the great emphasis onto the true and clear proclamation of the full gospel. Jesus Christ, our Lord, remains the center of the preaching. God uses servants and prophets, but he himself is the one who saves, who heals, and who gives revelation by grace. One question: should not have all these great evangelists, names one should not mention here, who received their inspiration in a meeting of Brother Branham, should they not have asked themselves, what does this man teach? What does this man believe? I did it, and I say this to the glory of God, with 21 years after the first meeting in Karlsruhe, I understood it. I wanted to know, what does this man believe and teach? Because I saw that God is with him. I knew 1955 that there are all these various denominations also within the full gospel. I knew it. When I saw the confirmation, I had only one question. What does this man believe and teach? Because I saw, of course, that God is with him. And when I, in 1958, drove this more than 4,000 kilometers through all of America to participate in this international conference in Dallas, Texas, I had only one thought: to be acquainted with, to know what this man believes and teaches. And God stilled my desire. And this biblical doctrine, this biblical baptism, everything was brought back to the beginning. And again, I have the question with a deep inner pain. Why did all these great evangelists, why did they bypass of what God really did and say? Why did they establish their own kingdom within the kingdom of God? Now we are coming to the point that God has set into his church the various ministries, and all who belong to the Church of Jesus Christ will let themselves be built up. They will have part in every ministry which God has given by his grace. We were all reading it in 1 John chapter 3. Not Pentecostal children or Baptist or Methodist children, but behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we may be the children of God. We have received the adoption as sons. By the Son of God, we, as sons and daughters of God, we have been adopted. Let us read it from the prophet Hosea, so that we have the connection to the New Testament. Hosea, chapter 1, verse 9. Hosea, chapter 1, verse 9. Then said God, call his name not my people, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. This is the bottom line under the one section. And then starts the second one. In verse 10, Hosea chapter 1, second part of verse 10. Ye are not my people, yet ye shall be called the sons of the living God. Here we have the transition from the Old to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Israel was the people of God, the covenant people. And to speak with Exodus 2 and 3 and 4, when the Lord God revealed himself to Moses, and when he gave him the commission, he said, say unto Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my firstborn son go. Do you want to read it? Exodus, chapter 4, verse 22 and 23. Exodus 4, 22, 23. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. But Israel was not a begotten son of God. Begotten in the flesh, yes, but not begotten in the spirit. Adam was a created son of God. Jesus Christ was the begotten one, begotten of the spirit, son of God. And now, ye, we were not my people, shall be called the sons of the living God. Let us look up to this, Romans chapter 9. Here the man of God lines out of what it is about in the New Testament church. Romans chapter 9 from verse 24.
Als solche hat auch euch oder uns berufen,
even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles.
Wie ja auch
as he saith also in the prophet Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. We have here the Old and the New Testament before us. As the Son of God was the Word made flesh, as he was the divine seed, which was manifested here in the flesh, so must every child of God, or all men who wish to become the children of God, they must receive the divine seed of the Word. And by the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit, without music, but under the direct influence of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they must experience the new birth by grace. Not music helps at a birth, and not some kind of other atmosphere. Before a birth can take place, a begetting must have taken place first. And this reminds us on Psalm 2, verse 7, You are my son, today I have begotten thee. And then came the birth. That which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. And therefore, we read, especially in the Epistle of John, He who is begotten of God, he who is born of God, overcometh the world. Brothers and sisters, we cannot afford to lead you around the truth. God sent His Word and made them whole. First, the Word comes as the seed, and then we are hearing it, we believe it, and the Spirit of God comes upon us to work the new spiritual life in us. Ye, who were not my people shall be called the sons of the living God. And John writes, and now we are the children of God. And now we are the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But already now are we the children of God, begotten by the Holy Spirit, born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And therefore, we received the connection to God. It doesn't come automatically. It must be given to us by God. In Galatians chapter 4, we have the adoption of sons before our eyes. Galatians chapter 4, from verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, subject under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And now it comes, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is the realization of the great plan of salvation, which God purposed from eternity. Psalm 2, verse 10, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish on your way. In the Son, the Father appeared personally to us. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. The word from Romans chapter 8 just belongs here. Romans chapter 8, a very well-known word to all of us. Romans 8 from verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And how is the leading which God gives us? The Spirit of God leads into all truth. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will open the eyes of the world. He will convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will take it of mine and declare it unto you. He will show you things to come. All who are led by the Spirit of God will be led into the Word. And then there's no resistance and no objection, but a being led by the Spirit. Simon, who received the revelation that he would not see death until he sees Christ, the Messiah, he came. Being led by the Spirit, he came into the temple. He took the Jesus child, the fulfillment of that what the prophets announced, and he was holding it in his hands, the result of all prophecy, starting from Genesis 3:15 up to Malachi 4. Here we see what it really means to be led by the Spirit of God, to be led to the place where God's promises became true, which one can take into one's hands. John writes, what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our hands have handled of the word of life. What God does can be handled. It is comprehensible. What God does is a divine reality here on earth. Why do the people bypass it? I just hope that God helps me, that I do not collapse under this burden, under this great pain, that in the name of Jesus, that's how they are singing it and are testifying it, in the name of Jesus, people are being deceived, kept in traditions, and are not allowed to break out. And the preachers are then jailers, watching nicely over them, so that by no means one goes out, oh brothers and sisters. Luke 4, it's written, the Spirit of God, of the Lord, rests upon me to preach deliverance to the captives, to set the bound free. Here's the point. Creeds and dogmas of men are binding the people to a church, to a religion. The Word of God sets free. And whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. And whoever hears the word from the lips of our Lord will abstain from hearing what people are saying. I've said it here before, or was it in Zurich? What happened to us in Berlin on Easter Saturday? A sermon, God was with us. Some heard it and were blessed by it. And at the end, an elderly sister, she came to me and said, Brother Frank, I've heard you on TV. I actually came to be baptized, but I went to my pastor and he told me, it is written, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So, please, not baptizing again. Not so. And you all know what Martin Luther said about the Anabaptists. Cursed be the Anabaptists. Yes. And then that was it. She wanted to come to be baptized. Was hearing the sermon. Was overwhelmed. And now she started to lament. And she said, what shall I do now? I was told, only one baptism. Yeah, yes, one baptism. I agree with it. But it must be the right one. It must be the biblical baptism. If one dips three times the hand into the water and sprinkles a bit, this is not a baptism. Romans 6, from verse 3, by baptism, being buried with Christ into death, and by the rising from the water, it symbolizes to be risen with Christ to a new life. Yes, and behold, the sister, finally she said, Brother Frank, I hope that God will give me one more chance. And then she said, for today, it is of course too late. And when I hear the word too late, then it again hurts me. Brothers and sisters, do not confer with flesh and blood. Remember, what could all those who followed John give as an answer? I'm asking you, could one of them give an answer why they repented? Why they went into the River Jordan? And if one would have asked them, that do you know why and for what you are baptized? They would have shrugged their shoulders. But the Bible says, in Luke 7, the Bible says that the scribes rejected the counsel of God for themselves, being not baptized by John. That's how it is written in Luke 7, from verse 27. Luke 7, from verse 27, in reference to John the Baptist. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And now comes the important verse, 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Whether we can explain it or not, important is when the moment comes and when the message of God sounds forth, that we not ask why, for what, but that we just believe and go with it with all our hearts, recognizing that this is that what God requires now from us. I don't know whether one ever asked, was this before? Doesn't matter whether this was before or not. Important is that we at the moment have part in that what God is presently doing. Whether this took place before like this already or not, many things are happening once for the first time, and then they're happening time and again. Just referring to this time, dear brothers and sisters, it is really important not to ask why and for what, but to say, the Lord commanded it. I come unto this way in faith and obedience, and I will continue to walk on it in obedience until I come from believing unto seeing. Romans chapter 8, once again, from verse 14, Romans 8, from verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, are you led by the Spirit of God? Do you still confer with flesh and blood? Are you still going to the preacher and say, what do you say actually about the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? To be honest, what is that to me? What a preacher says about it? What a pastor, what a bishop says? It's of no interest to me at all. I'm only interested in what does the Holy Scripture say? What does God's Holy Word teach? What we need is respect before the Word of God. And then it says here, in verse 15,
der Geist, den ihr empfangen habt,
for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear,
so dass ihr euch,
but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Den Geist der Sohnschaft empfangen, in welchem wir rufen, Abba, Vater. Nur Söhne und Töchter,
only sons and daughters of God have part in that what the Heavenly Father has prepared for us. When our Lord said in John 20 verse 17, I ascend to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. What did he mean with that? Psalm 89. Shall I read it? So that all that you know that really everything is written in the Bible like this. It just has to be found. It just has to be seen, and then it must be experienced. Psalm 89, 26 and 27. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. He the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8, verse 29. Where do you place yourself tonight? Where does God's word place you and me? Where does God's word place us tonight? Do we believe biblically? Do we walk in the footprints of the apostles and prophets? Has the doctrine and practice of the apostles become the true pattern to us? Or do we have other church patterns? God said to Moses, do everything according to the pattern, according to the example, as I've shown it to you on the Holy Mount. You can read it in Hebrews chapter 8. Now, I'm asking, what is my pattern? If the church must be brought back to the beginning, to the origin, and it will be brought back, then the word, the preaching from the early church, from the times of the apostle, is our true pattern. Acts 2, verse 38 to 41. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then it says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, 3,000 souls were added. Just imagine, they all would have come to Peter and would have to give each one a private lesson. Then the baptism could not even have taken place. When God reveals himself to us, namely by the preaching speaking to us, and if we believed the preaching, then that what was preached will be revealed to us. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit works in us the faith and the obedience. And we're not asking anymore. But we are going and we are baptized as it was commanded. Also this we've said many times. If there's still a resistance, then the old man did not die yet. If somebody died, he does not resist, he does not defend himself. He's just laid into the coffin. He doesn't know of anything anymore. And he's buried. If we really were crucified with Christ, and we died with him, if we can say, like Paul, in Galatians 2, verse 19 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Now I live no longer, but Christ lives in me. Where is then space for arguments? Everything is gone at one single blow. And if you may just mention this also, be it Acts 2 or chapter 16, there where Philip was preaching and baptizing, and the apostles came from Jerusalem to lay hands on them and to pray for the believers so that they receive the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 10, while Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them who heard his speech. I, of course, just finished to answer these 32 questions. One question is the new birth and the infilling with the Holy Ghost the same experience? We see it in the Holy Scripture. There are the places, he must be born again. There's the Scripture, James 1:18, born again by the everlasting seed of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, also born again. And then we read of the infilling with the Holy Spirit, about the enduing with the power from on high. But here's the point. In Acts chapter 10, no one needed to wait. Everything in one single service. Becoming a believer, experiencing justification, forgiveness, grace, salvation, and the baptism with the Holy Spirit in one single meeting. So, not arguing whether it is the same experience, but searching ourselves whether we made the experience, whether it falls together or whether it is given to us times apart, is not the main thing. The main thing is that we experience what God promised, namely, that we are born again unto a living hope, and that we are endued with the power with the Holy Spirit. One could read many scriptures about it. The most important, seems to me, is in Acts chapter 11, where Peter in Jerusalem defends that what happened among the heathens in the house of Cornelius. And here we have a very clear testimony about that, what happened there. Acts chapter 11, from verse 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. as on us at the beginning, as on us on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Do we remember these words? They have been said. John said it. I baptize you with water. He who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, the like gift as he did unto us, who we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? Yes, please not. Verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Let us summarize of what it is about today in the preaching and also in the review. 100 years since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, by which the world was again moved and included into the supernatural working by the Spirit of God. The beginning was difficult. The rejection was great. The deviations were on the agenda. But God did not give up. He did not cease. God made a new beginning. 1946. He has given a new breakthrough. That not only gifts like speaking in tongues and prophesying, but the gift of faith, the gift of working miracles, all these gifts as they were listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, all these gifts were restored. God has led it in such a way that before the return of Jesus Christ, everything is restored again into the original condition. And now we are looking back to 40 years of preparation, 40 years of spreading of the everlasting gospel, the original message of God, of Jesus Christ our Lord, of the finished work of redemption, of everything what the Holy Scripture teaches. Therefore, I believe that we are truly standing now at the verge, at the transition to a new beginning. I say like before, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know that God is on the throne. I know that he will finish his work with the church. And brothers and sisters, let us emphasize it once again. One question is also, what comparison is between Israel and the church? One must just know that the Jews, namely all 12 tribes, all 12 tribes, not as the doctrine goes of British Israelites, that the 10 tribes are lost somewhere. When 2.5 tribes were led into captivity, only 2.5 returned. And when 10 were led into captivity, also all 10 returned. Everything is in this book. But here's the point. From all 12 tribes, especially when we will meet and ask our brother Zwicker in a few days, he says straight away, I am part of the tribe of Levi. They know of which tribe they are. They know it. And they all are there. Why are they there from all tribes? Because in Revelation 7 it is written that the 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe are sealed under the ministry of the two witnesses. God is, of course, watching over His word. Who wants to help Him? Important is that He can help all of us. Namely, as the Jews from all 12 tribes returned from 143 countries, coming into the land of their fathers, into the land of promise, to, when their hour comes, to have part in the fulfillment of the promises which are for them. What is with us? Also we, from all the 347 Christian denominations and fellowships, we must be called out. We must come out into the word of promise for this time to have part in the fulfillment of that what God promised. This is the plain truth. And therefore, the preaching must be put onto the lampstand. And all the people must come to know what God has prepared for us. Believe the gospel with all the promises. Believe the word of prophecy as it was left to us. Shall we read all the places which speak about the returning of Israel? We also said this one. On the 7th of May 1946, when Jerusalem was under the British mandate, under General Allenby, already they waved the flag from the King David Hotel. King David Hotel was the first one in which I stayed in Jerusalem, 1964. There where Ben-Gurion was, there where history was made. Brothers and sisters, we have such a great privilege to live now with open eyes, with the biblical revelation, with the word of prophecy, which shines to us as a bright light in a dark place. Many years have passed. The time is very, very near. May the Lord God give us the grace to believe as the scripture says and to have part in that what God promised and what He is doing right now. I again have the request, do not confer with flesh and blood. Search in the scripture. Search in the scripture. For it is the scripture which testifies of all what we believe. I will not dare to believe anything or to preach anything which is not written in the Word of God. The Word has become a lamp unto our feet. And now all who have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches, they will hear it. They will hear, they will believe, and they will get the Word and the will of God revealed by His grace. He, the Almighty God, who watched over His word also in our time, and who called us out, and who has spoken to us, that we recognize by this to have found grace in His sight, leaving our own ways, leaving our own doctrines, our own convictions, we returned to the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, back to the beginning. Praised and blessed be the Lord our God. Now I have just one question. Are you convinced before God that He, through His word, has revealed to us this last part of the plan of salvation? Say Amen. It is really so, like this. Are you convinced that it is God who brings us into agreement with His word and His will? Say Amen. It is so. Not unity in diversity of the religions and of the denominations, but Father, You in me and I in them, that we may be perfect in one. We at this place, we take ourselves the right to believe as the Scripture has said. May all say about us what they like. They do it anyway. But we believe as the Scripture says, and we thank God for the holy reverence which He has laid into our hearts. To Him, the Almighty God, be the praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up, and together we will sing the chorus, Just As I Am. And then we will pray together. We have our eyes closed, are opening our hearts. We are in the presence of God. Today we want to pray for everyone who wish to dedicate their lives to God. Let me ask straight away, if we have some in our midst today who wish to consecrate their lives to God, raise your hands. Yes, everywhere the hands are going up. Who has spiritual need? Please raise your hand, that you do not understand something which gives you a hard time to understand. God bless you. Who has bodily trouble, that you need healing? Who is in need of deliverance? Who is still bound to this or that? God bless. God sees all the hands. God sees all the hearts. We are just so thankful that it is written, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. What He did, this He is also doing today. He promised, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. And it is written that He confirmed the word by signs following. And also today He confirms by His grace. We just believe with all our hearts. But in the main thing, how many would like to have a full clarity by the Spirit of God about the plan of salvation of our God? Of course, we all can raise our hands to this. This we all want. Let us pray now together. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee with all our hearts for Thy word, for Thy grace. We thank Thee that You are speaking to us face to face, that it's the word of life, words of power, words of revelation, which You are speaking to us. Dear Lord, have Thine own way with us in all of Europe, all over the world, in South America. Bless, precious Lord, call Your people out. Do great things in Your church. Manifest Thyself in a supernatural way. To You, the Almighty God, be the honor. Precious Lord, You have placed a sample church before our eyes. But You worked everything. Work today in all of us. That's what You did then.
Hallelujah! 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 Oh God! Oh God! Hallelujah! Große Gott! Große Gott! Große Gott! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Preis sei Gott!
Glorify the power of His blood, the power of His word, the power of His spirit. Thank God. Thank God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything what has breath of life, everything what has breath of life shall praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Singen wir gemeinsam. Du bist würdig. Du bist würdig.
Thou art worthy.